No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Take me to the pilot, lead me to the tamer.
Take me to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. Wait a minute, hold on. They're not here again on time. What is up with these pilots that I'm working with at Just Plane Radio? No respect as a, pilot in training. However, I have recruited some folks to help us out in the meantime and pulled in the big guns. The big kahuna, the big cheese, the man behind the madness of sun and fun is kicking off Just Plane Radio with us right now. Lights is with us. How are you, buddy?
Absolutely great, Greg. It's another super day here on the Sun and Fun Expo campus. As we rally together to put on the biggest show of aviation experiences in the South.
Yes.
We like to say it's the biggest show south of Chicago.
Well, it's the biggest show, period, I think. I mean, it's a huge event. It happens next week. We can't wait to, we're going to be there doing our thing and look forward to it big time. And we're actually, I should say, it starts April 4th. Do I get that
April
right?
April 5th.
5th, 5th. You could get there on the 4th if you want. You could fly in the day before. And
actually, a lot of people do that. And they set up their tents early.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, I'm out here right now at the campground, and we're about a third full. People pulling in already, parking campers. They've got all their spots laid out. They're getting ready for a week full of aviation excitement.
Absolutely. Now, the big highlight this year is there's kind of like a military theme, even more than usual. So explain.
Well, we decided that it's been 75 years since the American military went from an isolationist, protect our borders kind of country to a world superpower. And in those 75 years since we woke up on December 7th of 1941 and realized that we need to be bigger and badder and the strongest police force on the planet, we've grown into exactly that. So we thought we'd recognize it by saying we honor our armed services. So we're honoring the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard. Each day is a theme for each one of them, and all those great services are represented by an aircraft. Whatever aviation division they have is represented here, and will be flying on demonstrations as well as a large array of static displays. And then probably, one of the neatest things is we're letting every active duty member of our armed services come in for free on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Nice.
They can get away from their job. We're going to say thank you. Come on over and enjoy the show. It's our thank you to the services for making our country safe that we could do what we do here right now.
Very nice. Okay, so now Wednesday night and Saturday night are the big nighttime air shows, and they have kind of like a military buildup at the end there in this wall of fire carpet bombing thing. Is that thing even going to be bigger because of this, or is that not necessarily connected? It'll just be as big and bad as usual.
Well, we've added the wall of fire back in. As you well know, Summit Fun is now back on solid financial footing. So we're able to add a few things back, and we put the wall of fire back in for Saturday and putting them in the fireworks display afterwards. And we're going to have it even during the day. We're going to have more pyrotechnics going off as we recognize our vintage military demonstrations with strafing attacks and bombing attacks, and they'll be represented by pyrotechnics going off at the exact time when that bomb would hit the ground. So, yes.
Nice.
All of that is going to happen.
Excellent. So there's a nighttime air show Wednesday night, Saturday night, right? That's
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And our show times, for everybody's edification, you can check it out on the website if they want. But on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, our show goes from 2:30 in the afternoon till 6 o'clock. And then on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, because we got bigger crowds, we'll go right on into a 1:30 to 6 o'clock as well. So you'll get between 3.5 and 4.5 hours of flying each day. And if, for the Florida folks, if they buy a ticket to come on Saturday and you're a Florida resident with a driver's license, then you will get Saturday day show, Saturday night air show, and Sunday for free. Come on back.
Very nice. And Thursday and Friday, our plan for Just Plain Radio is to broadcast from the stage there at the Sunset Grill, nice food pavilion there at lunchtime right before the air show on Thursday and Friday. So make sure you join us for that. So this is like the spring break of aviation, or do you, you don't really like to call it that anymore, do you, or do you?
What is well, you know what? It's with the part that, I mean, it's still spring break for pilots.
Yeah.
But it's not just that anymore. Now we are a springboard for all of the aviation events going into the summer season of flying, and the money that we raise in our, this is a fundraiser. The Sun and Fun International Fly-In and Expo is a fundraiser to fuel the fire that's producing the world's next group of aviation professionals. We are now producing more young aviators than any other entity in the world because of that.
Excellent.
And we will do a ribbon-cutting ceremony for the world's largest and most utilized high school flying club.
So that's going to happen at the event this year, you're saying?
On Wednesday morning, all the leaders of the industry will be here as we cut the ribbon on a 12,000-square-foot hangar and clubhouse headquarters for the Lakeland Aero Club as we christen it the biggest, best and brightest hope for youth in aviation.
Well, there you go. So, you know, not only can you enjoy your favorite aspects of aviation, but you can support a program that'll bring, you know, new aviators into the biz. So that's a win-win.
Imagine, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Name one place on the planet that's in less than 4 years has produced 48 teenage pilots. Name one.
Well, let's see. We're way over their head, so it can't be us. I'm going to say you.
That would be us.
Yay!
Name one place that's produced, and just this last year, we did 7 new A&P mechanics in high school.
Very nice. Good. Well, it's just good work. I know you guys do great work year-round, and that's what sometimes gets overshadowed with just this massive event called Sun and Fun in Lakeland, Florida every year. But, you know, I'm looking forward to it, for sure.
We like the folks to come and have a great time and share the aviation experience. Mm-hmm. That's what I've done for years. I'm so all our friends. But we want them to know at the end of the day, you invested in the next generation of aviators. That's what they're doing when they come here.
Well, and a big part of it is just sharing the love of flying with friends. That's the social aspect of flying and being a pilot.
Absolutely.
In itself anyway. So, yeah.
Have fun and build the future. That's what we're doing.
Absolutely. Now, what are you looking for in particular at this year's event? Yeah, surely you have a minute or two in between the chaos to go cruise the aisles and say, okay, I want one of those for my plane, or I just want this new plane. Is there anything you're willing to share, or will you get in trouble, Lights? What's the deal?
I would get deeply in trouble if I did that because, you know, for years I came in here and came home with thousands of dollars of stuff that I bought. And then my wife started coming with me, and she decided that she was going to go home with thousands of dollars worth of jewelry and aviation attire. And so we finally both decided, hey, we're going to throttle back on that, and we'll just have a good time and not worry about buying too much stuff. But okay. I do like to go around. I literally like to go around to all the exhibitors and vendors and tell them thanks for being here and make sure they understand that we appreciate them. Just like we do the customers that pay to get in here, we appreciate them for coming and sharing their products with the aviation community.
Yeah. Well, and everybody has a story there. I mean, last year we were there, we ran into this, we stumbled into the press conference from the guy who had met the, let's see, was it a Korean pilot? When, you know, you were there. I mean, maybe this will, you know.
You're talking about the guy, the Vietnamese pilot.
Yes, yeah, there you go. That was what it was.
The last airplane out of Saigon.
Right.
An L-19, and he flew out. It's a two-place airplane, and he and his wife and 5 kids.
Yes.
With no gas, and flew out, followed a trail of helicopters, found the aircraft carrier Midway, and landed on it.
Right. And they met the Midway commander there at Sun and Fun for the first time, him and his entire family, and we were there to witness. It was a very emotional situation, and an honor to witness that firsthand. That kind of stuff happens all the time at an event like this.
Yes, you know, the historical people that come here are just phenomenal.
Yeah.
And sometimes we know they're here, And sometimes they just walk up and say hi, just like coming down and being anonymous.
Yeah, well,
but
that's the thing.
They all love aviation like the rest of us.
Yeah, that's the thing. You'll be standing around looking at these planes and chatting with somebody, go, wow, that looks cool. And then you find out this guy's like some kind of super pilot or commander of an airship or something insane.
Yep.
That is very humbling, but one of the coolest experiences you can have, not just as a pilot, but just as a human being. So all I can say is go to Sun and Fun and get everything you need at sun-n-fun.org. I got it right this time for once.
You
didn't
got
I?
It right.
Yes.
Good for you.
Learning has occurred.
I'll buy you sarsaparilla when you get here.
All right. Sarsaparillas on lights there at Sun and Fun. Thank you, lights. Appreciate it. And we got more coming up on Just Plain Radio. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive.
Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations.
Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night.
Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Wheels up, flaps down. Let's fly.
I wanna fly. I'm ready to burn down all the walls that I've been building up inside.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, and I'm going to pull in some bigger guns because Keith and Ed, once again, are not here today, at least not yet. Whether they show up before the end of the show is anybody's guess. However, I'm going to just pull in some favors and bring in Abington right now from San Juan. She's with us via the web. Abington, how are you?
Awesome. How are you?
I am okay, even though I'm pilotless. I'm just a pilot in training, and my flight instructors have abandoned me today. What is up with that?
Well, I'm a flight instructor. I didn't abandon you.
Well, exactly. That's why I said I had to pull in some big guns here. So, but enough about me and my problems. Let's talk about yours. You know, you're flying flying with this airline down in the Caribbean, and you are you're well established now. You've been landing in all places. I mean, last time you were on your way to St. Barts, you've been all around the Caribbean now. I want to talk about some of the airports that you have flown into that have been maybe a bit of a surprise or more difficult that maybe people listening, if they want to fly down there, would need to be aware. If they want to go to this particular island, it's going to be a little bit more challenging than they may anticipate. Are there such places or what?
Oh, my gosh, totally. I mean, all those lists of like the 10 most deadliest airports, they always feature a couple of them out of the Caribbean.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah.
So, well, one of those would be Ceiba, which is like one of the shortest airports in the world or something. Is that right or what?
Yeah, I think it is the shortest in the world.
Okay. I'll go with that. That's what I've heard. I've seen it. It looks tricky. Yeah, but you're not flying in with your carrier down there, are you, or no?
No, not into Ceiba. Wynn Air does, though, and I do want to take a trip to Ceiba, so I'd have to fly on Wynn Air.
Uh-huh.
But it's got like a cliff on either side, I think.
Right.
So, I mean, any of these airports, if you want to fly into them, you should really, really check out the videos on YouTube. Check out what it's like, read about it before you go. This is not something where you want to just be like, oh, let's go down and check it out. No. Be prepared.
Yeah. Well, when you go into Ceiba, it's really about the journey if you fly in, from what I've been told. And I've watched them take off, and I've watched them land. I have not flown into Ceiba. I've always come in via boat. And the reason is because I've seen what the planes do. They basically fly off the end of the runway and drop before they start ascending.
Yeah.
Depending on how the airflow is going that day. So it's a little, it could be a bit of a roller coaster ride or a challenge at the bare minimum, I guess. Is that what you've heard from your fellow pilots? Have you talked to any folks that are doing that route, like from Wynn Air, or no?
No, I've just kind of reviewed and checked out what happens when you land and read some posts about people that have done it. When I go in with Wynn Air, I probably won't be flying on my own. I'll just be there as a passenger.
Right.
But it doesn't mean I don't want to, you know, experience it and see it from like a pilot's point of view. So, but I mean, I don't know. Not until I go in there will I see.
Yeah, well, that's true. Or you get, you know, like you said, you can look up the videos on YouTube. You do have to have some kind of special certification to be able to even fly passengers into that airport. It's an exclusive type of certification club. Or something, or maybe just a club. Yeah, I don't
know. I think it's called the CPC, like the Cool Pilots Club.
Of course it is. Well, it would be, for sure. I have no doubt.
That one in St. Bart. St. Bart, you also need a logbook endorsement to fly into St. Bart.
And you have that because you just flew into there last week, right?
Heck yeah.
Yeah. So,
that was cool.
Now, why do you need the CPC for that particular airport? What's so tricky about it?
Well, for St. Bart's, you're typically coming in over the mountains. There's a high hill, a very steep hill right on the end of the runway, which I want to say is an east-facing runway. I don't remember the number, but let's say it's 090 just for ease.
Okay.
And so when you're coming over 090, you have to basically chop and drop your airplane over this mountain.
Chop and drop. That does not sound like a skill that I have learned in my training so far. What does that mean exactly? Chop
just
and
pull,
drop.
Pull the power to idle and let it sink.
Drop.
So you're not really – it's what you would have learned more or less with a short field runway. If you had like an obstacle in front of your runway that you were trying to descend above.
Okay.
And you would typically make a steeper than normal approach. So it's like that.
Mm-hmm. So,
but the problem is that at the end of the runway, on the other side, the west end of the runway, is the ocean.
So if you don't drop just right after your chop, then it's drop, chop, wet, or drowned?
Yeah.
Drop, chop, drown.
Yeah, there's a famous video on YouTube of somebody in a multi-engine airplane, like a 402 or something. And you see, like, he's just floating down the runway. He needs to put it on the ground, and he's not. He should have just done a go-around, but he didn't. He still tried to save it, and then he ended up in the ocean. So
He wasn't planning to own a float plane. And
no.
But it ended up being that way. All right, well, I assume it floated. Maybe it didn't. have to look at the video. But so it's just a little tricky. You got to know your stuff. I mean, really, once you do it, is it really that much of a challenge, or is it just depend on the conditions, you know, that particular day to make sure you're flying within, you know, the minimums type of deal, or what do you think?
I think it's always a challenge, because the thing with St. Bart is on either side of that hill that is right in front of the approach end of the runway mm-hmm. are two tall mountains on either side. And they have on top of those mountains two windsocks, one for the one mountain, one for the other. And so your winds are different, and often one is different than the other mountain. Hmm. So you're always getting crazy, crazy winds coming into St. Bart from, you know, coming in from the west. It's just always tricky. You never have two of the same landings at that airport.
Really? So you got to drop, chop, and crab, depending on the wind direction of coming down those mountains, I guess. Am I right?
Yeah, and by crab, like not meeting the crabs at the end, the other end of the route.
Yes.
Like,
well, crabbing into if the wind. You do it correctly. Yeah, one way right. or another, you might be crabbing.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, it sounds like it keeps you off the streets at night, because you got to pay attention and probably study for this stuff. But other than just practicing these approaches, and well, now you're certified on that landing, that's all you have to work with. I mean, there's other than just doing it time and time again on the regular routes, I guess. Is that right?
Yeah, and the biggest one that I've been doing lately is Dominica. Dominica, in my opinion, is the most challenging.
Really?
Now, mind you, I haven't been to Seba, so I don't know.
Okay, well, true. But
Dominica, for sure.
And actually,
way harder than St. Bart.
I have flown into Dominica several times, and I can vouch for her on that. When I've flown in as a passenger before, I always thought, this isn't going to work. I see no runway. All I see is trees, greenery, and things I can hit. We'll find out how she does it next. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm going to fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me. Captain Ed, Captain Keith, not here. So I've pulled in the big guns. Abington from the Abington Watch Company. By the way, you can go to theabingtonco.com and check out her cool line of aviation watches, dive watches, and the like. It's great stuff for an aviator, for a diver, for just a human being, right? You would sell to anyone. But we're talking about landing in the airport on Dominica. Now, I've flown into it several times, and I always wondered how the pilots did it. So what is the trick to flying into Dominica from your perspective?
Gosh, it's not really a trick. It's just, you know, maintaining your minimums. Don't push it. Because the thing about Dominica is you typically always have weather. And you have clouds. You've got rain. They're low. And if you're coming in over the ocean, because the thing about Dominica is it's a runway that's at the end of the ocean, and then there's mountains on the other side. So very similar in terrain like St. Bart is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But St. Bart, you really have a cutout between those two mountains where you fly over that hill. Dominica, you don't. It is literally mountains. So I fly a Saab, right?
Yeah.
And because I fly in Part 121, the FAA has jurisdiction over our performance minimums and what our regulations are, because we're carrying passengers. We kind of have important cargo.
Right.
And so they have now said we cannot land coming in over the water, because our go-around performance isn't up to their standards, because we've got those mountains. If we try to execute a go-around and we don't do it exactly textbook, we'll put ourselves in the mountain. So we can't land on runway 27 anymore. And when you come in over the mountains at Dominica, you don't see the runway until you turn base to final.
So that can be a little intimidating.
Because you have to know the mountains that you go straight towards, You have to know the banana farms that you have to turn left at.
Whenever your aviation directions say turn left at the banana farm, it can't give you a good feeling inside. You hear what I'm saying?
It's crazy. It's totally crazy.
Well, there you go. Keep that in mind if you're flying into Dominica. And thanks, Abington, for the tip. All right. We got more coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You know that maneuver where you fly straight up until you stall and then pull out of the dive?
Uh-huh.
Can we do that today?
Nope.
Don't decide now. We'll talk when we're up.
Sky pilot, how high can you fly? You'll never reach the sky.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me. And guess who just showed up? It's Captain Keith. How are you, Keith?
Hey, I'm here.
Thank God.
Hey,
just in the nick of time, because Abington and Lights had to leave me flying solo. It was going to be ugly here in a minute. So I'm glad you showed finally.
Well, I'm sorry I'm late.
Better late than never.
That's right. That's what they say.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, coming up here, we're going to check in with Dennis, who last week we were talking with him about him doing his final check ride. And I don't think he's gotten through it just yet, but we're going to find out where he's at with that here in just a moment here on Just Plane Radio. But in the meantime, I figured, Keith, I'll bounce some of these crazy stories I came across in the aviation world with you this week, and we'll kind of navigate this news together. Does that sound like a good plan? Now that I have a pilot, you know, in the proper chair here for Just Plane Radio, I feel that I can fly through this stuff with ease.
Yeah.
It's getting deep in here, folks.
Deep in here.
All right. So anyway, Fantasy Island. You remember that show?
Fantasy Island. De plane.
Well, the De plane is for sale. It's going up. Yeah, it's going up for auction next week, I guess.
A widgeon.
What's that?
It's a widgeon.
You knew that. How'd you know that? It's a 1967 Grumman Widgeon airplane. The plane that was featured in the TV show Fantasy Island. That, what's his...
No, that's the airplane you ought to buy.
You think so? It is a seaplane, and it has an interesting history to it.
It's got a good history to it.
Well, I don't know if it's good history.
It has a history.
Yeah, because not right after they did the filming for Fantasy Island, evidently the movie studio had chartered the plane for those opening scenes of that TV show, and then it went back to this company, and after the TV show, it went into the drug smuggling business, and it was used to evidently carry all kinds of drugs for a while, and was Oklahoma Bureau of Narcotics, not repossessed it, but took control of it because of it was caught in those activities, and so it was just one of those things that. You know, it happens, and you have to deal with it accordingly. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I wonder if that's going to be an airplane like the 172 that, do you remember when John and Martha King were held down at gunpoint in California?
I remember hearing that story a few times, yes.
Yeah, because the N number on a brand new 172 was used on a 152, I believe.
Yeah.
If my memory serves me correct.
Mm-hmm.
And that airplane was stolen many, many years prior. And they just regenerated the N number because that airplane was gone. And so it came up as a stolen aircraft. And so they were met by the police. So I wonder if this aircraft is going to be met by...
The
same potential problems because they think you're a drug smuggler.
Well, there's only one way to find out. April 16th in Branson, Missouri, when you bid for this plane and find out. That would be a great storyline for Just Plane Radio.
It would be.
So, Keith, get to it. It's been painted red. Now, in Fantasy Island, it was white. But now it's cherry red with some kind of cool cherry red interior. Quite a unique looking plane for sure, but it's bright red, and has evidently been restored and the whole thing. And there you go. You want a piece of TV history, and you know something that obviously was good enough for the drug smugglers might be good enough for you. You know. So there you go. I don't know if that's really my kind of plane. I don't really want a seaplane necessarily. You know, I don't want to be limited to landing on water. Now, I like the versatility, don't get me wrong.
You want the amphibious is what you want.
There's actually another one on the horizon. What is his name again? Let me look it up here. He's a famous designer. And he's created a plane called the Skigull. And this guy is, you know, he's like a crazy, you know, engineer artist type of guy. Rutan is his last name. or Bert Rutan. There you go.
Bert Rutan?
Yeah. You know him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You saw him at Oshkosh.
I did. When did I see him? Where? Did we hang with him and I don't remember?
No.
Was that one of those nights?
No, I'm just trying to make you think like
crazy. Oh, okay. Well, it wouldn't. You're going to make me think like I'm crazy? Tell me something I don't know. All right. So anyway, Bert Rutan, or as you call him, has created this prototype airplane called the Skigull. All right. So this converts from a land plane to a seaplane to a ski plane through a never seen before retractable landing gear system, and it can do it like make those changes in seconds. So something like that sounds appealing to me. Now the ski part of it, since I don't really like cold weather, I'm not so sure I care about the ski part. But I don't know. I mean, having the better have it there than not. You know, if you had to land, it gives you more more options. Right?
There you go.
Yeah. So you can land on the. On the water, on the snow, or on land. So this is the Skigull, and you know it's just a prototype that he's come up with. But evidently, it can change and extend or retract the landing gear in like 1.5 seconds, he claims. So it sounds interesting.
That's
you want
pretty
one?
Fast.
Yeah, you want one?
I'd have to see it first.
You'd have to look. Well, look it up.
I'll have to look it up.
The Skigull. Just Google it, and you'll find it up there on the web. All right. So there's that would be one solution or alternative for me. But, I'm still looking at the Quest Kodiak. I got to talk to those folks at Sun and Fun because I know they'll be exhibiting at the show. We just got to talk them into giving us one. That's all we have to do. As simple as that. A simple request. You think he'd be, more than happy to honor that request from our crew here at Just Plain Radio. But I don't know. If that doesn't work, I got to go back to AOPA. And maybe pull in a favor from our buddy Tom Haynes. You know, they just awarded their last sweepstakes airplane a few weeks ago to this guy who won the 152 that they had refurbished,
right.
Restored. Yeah. Well, now they're in the process of doing the new AOPA sweepstakes airplane. And this is right down my alley because it is a Cessna 172.
Well, there you go.
So, they're going to... take
I'm not
this
sure
thing.
That's a really good, take a bunch of people's diving airplane.
Well, if they give it to me or I win it because I slip Tom Haynes a $20 bill, I'm okay with that.
Oh, there you go.
I'll work that angle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, that is the plane that I was training in. And, I'm getting ready. I just got my third class medical cert last week. So I'm ready to get back in the cockpit. I just need a plane. And that was the plane I was learning in. So maybe they ought to just avoid the sweepstakes thing altogether. Just give it to me.
Just before or after they redo it?
No, after, definitely. let's say after they redo it and then I fly it, then they need to redo it again. Yeah. I'm just saying, it'd be good for the airplane before they give some regular schmo all the potential problems. They might as well let me break it in, you think, literally?
Sure. Yeah, because that would be a pretty much accurate. Break it in.
Yeah. You instill such confidence in me.
It's just been a while.
Yeah, it's just what they do, Keith and Ed in particular. That looks like a nice plane, though. It's a 172N. So what is that? What does the N mean again on the Cessna? 172? It's just like newer?
No, it's just that they all have models,
yeah,
model numbers. So mm-hmm. That's actually what you were flying earlier.
It was. Charlie Mike was 172.
Yep.
N.
Yep.
It
was okay. An N model.
So, see, that's even more reason for them to give it to me.
Yeah.
I mean, what? How much more groveling do I have to do?
Does it show the N number on that?
Not on the picture, no.
They probably took it off already.
Yeah, I would think they would have. Well, actually, no. It's N739HW.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I've never flown that one. It looks familiar, though.
Yeah, really? You think there would have been a chance that that was the same plane that you flew?
Oh, yeah.
In Wisconsin? Mm-hmm. I guess that is up in the air neck of the woods there, isn't
yeah.
it? Well, this guy said they found this 1978 Cessna 172N in Maryland. Its previous owner is a longtime AOPA member, and had owned the airplane for like 30 years, using it as a trainer, there you go, and personal airplane to take trips to Florida and Air Venture in Oshkosh. So it's possible. Another reason for them just to give it to me, or maybe you can join AOPA and give it a shot to win for yourself. And do what you want. All right, more coming up, including Dennis, who's getting ready to do his check ride next on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
If you don't use it, you might lose it. I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll explain why this is especially true for divers next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
The first dive of the season or after a hiatus is always special, and being a bit rusty after being out of the water is expected. So before just jumping in, take the extra time to honestly reevaluate your health, refresh your dive skills, and get your gear checked out by a reputable dive center. It's a great way to ensure your first dive of the season is the positive experience that it should be. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
For takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Flying is the worst one because people come back from flights and they tell you their story. And it's like a horror story. They act like their flight was like a cattle car in the 40s in Germany. That's how bad they make it sound.
Right.
They're like, it was the worst day of my life. First of all, we didn't board for 20 minutes. And then we get on the plane and they made us sit there on the runway for 40 minutes. Oh, really? What happened next? Did you fly through the air incredibly like a bird? Did you partake in the miracle of human flight, you non-contributing zero? But you got to fly? You're flying! It's amazing!
Hello down there. Sailors in the air, keeping the midnight stars held high. We are captains of the sky, waving goodbye.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me. Captain Keith has joined us here. He is with us. If that wasn't enough, now we got Dennis, who's getting ready to do his check ride. He literally just, well, last week we spent the entire time, you know, talking about what he needed to do to prepare for his flight examination and flight examiner, especially when it came to electronic charts and things like that. You're still waiting, though. You've scheduled it, you have it set, and now you're ready to go. Is that right, Dennis?
Now the nervousness sets in.
Now
yes.
the pre, you know, stay, you know,
the pre-check ride jitters.
Is that what they call
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
Technical term there.
Yes.
So what is your advice for him to get over that, Keith? What do you think? Deep breaths? Yoga?
Yeah. I mean, he just has to trust his training.
Your training.
Yeah, and it sounds like, you know, his instructor's done everything right. And, you know, we've talked to Dennis a lot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he knows what he's doing. So he just needs to go into it with, you know, the confidence.
Now,
that
why are you
knows
giving him all this type of advice when it's me? It's like, oh, yeah, I'd be scared, Greg. Is that just me?
Well, like I said, we've talked to Dennis quite a bit. And, you know, we know where Dennis is at and how he's doing.
Yeah.
You know?
And
you know where I'm at. Well, yeah, I know exactly where you're at. You're not flying. That's exactly right.
Well, I'm okay. I'm talking about it.
Yes.
So that's a start.
But see, Dennis actually does it.
Yeah, well, okay. He's a doer. Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing.
Are you using paper or electronic charts?
And I'm going with electronic charts. I use the Garmin Pilot app on my iPad.
Okay.
Your guy said it was okay then, huh?
Actually, I had a great phone conversation with him just a couple days ago as we were getting everything set up, and he is 100% on board with electronic charts. As long as you don't try to fly the chart on your iPad, you're going to be just fine. And his recommendation to me is, you know, for backup, he does not require you have paper charts in the airplane in the event of a battery failure or you drop your iPad or something. He says, do you have a phone? Just get the charts on your phone, you know, whether it's Flight Plan Go or another, you know, on Garmin, you can pull them up, look at the instrument approach procedures. He says that's perfectly acceptable for a backup.
Hmm. Well,
so this guy, he seems to be, you know, very accommodating with the new technology. And for him, you know, anything you can do to help your situational awareness is fantastic.
Well, you know, they all have to be.
Mm-hmm. It's not an option.
The FAA has accepted electronic charts. And so they all have to accept the fact that you're going to use an iPad with, you know, ForeFlight or Garmin or whatever the case may be. Whatever you've decided to use as far as your charts, mm-hmm. they have to accept it.
Yeah,
they can't say no.
If you find a flight examiner, and we were kind of talking about this last week, that says, well, I don't know if I want you doing that. Basically, they're wrong, and they need to catch up with the 90s?
Correct. And,
okay.
And you just need to call the FISDO, your local FISDO, and let them know what they're saying, and let them deal with that individual.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think last week we were kind of saying, well, if you find one of those guys, just go get a different one.
Yeah.
But technically, they're not allowed to tell you no, is what you're saying.
Correct.
Keith? Well, there you go.
Correct.
So now you know, Dennis.
Right. And my concern... Yeah, and my concern was, you know, when you're doing this check ride, a lot of the things you're going to do is when things fail. They're going to cover up your vacuum instruments so that you have no artificial horizon or gyro. So is it, you know, legitimate for them to take your iPad away from you as well? So now all of a sudden you lose that additional source of situational.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Well, it's just like having a meter on the dash that you would work with anyway, right?
Right.
iPad is an eyes. Well, not yet.
Yeah, no, he can check it before you go, Dennis, and he may want to verify that it's at 100% charge.
Yeah, I would say
things
that's
like that. And if you have a backup on your phone,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But no, he's not going to just go ahead and take it away from you.
Yeah, how long is the flight test going to take? What's he telling you?
He's telling me to plan for 2 hours of oral examination in the hangar and plan 2 hours for flight time. So I'm assuming, you know, it'll be somewhere even less than that by the time we go out in pre-flight and everything else. I'm coming prepared, though. I'm bringing a portable USB battery so I can, you know, keep it plugged into a battery so that I don't even start using the onboard before, you know, I'm trying to stack the deck in my favor that I don't have any issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Redundancy
is key for sure.
Exactly,
it is.
That'll just score brownie points. Do they score brownie points?
Well,
if
the oral goes really well,
yeah,
then that just kind of relaxes the examiner because he knows that you know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
you know, and
if you show up prepared, it kind of establishes a baseline. It's like, okay, this guy is taking the time to make sure that he has all of his pre-flight preparation, all of his equipment has been checked, everything's done. So it kind of will help, like you said, it'll make him a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah. Exactly. What if you actually bring them brownies? Feed them.
My luck, the guy would have type 1 diabetes.
Well, that's always a
of course, Greg would have his, laced with X-Lax or something.
Well,
that's going to create a new in-flight emergency.
That would depend if he's going to pass me or fail me.
Or depends.
Depends.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Oh, boy. You're a little anxious, though, but that's normal. Every student is a bit anxious when they're doing their check ride like this, IFR,
yeah, absolutely.
Right?
There is some apprehension there, but like I said, you have to go into it. Your instructor's not going to sign you off unless they know you're going to pass. And so keep in mind, the examiner is considering you an instrument pilot until you prove him otherwise in this particular case.
So just go in with the right attitude that you're going to do this and just do it.
Absolutely.
Plan your flight and fly your plane.
Fly your plane.
And on that note, we'll leave it. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far, cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.